CliffCentral.com.
From the beloved family dog to domestic ducks, honeybees, camels, fish, or a surprisingly cute grown male lion, humankind has managed to tame a varying range of animals into a domesticated state. Animal domestication refers to an extensive relationship established between human and animal beyond simple predation. There are three classes of animal domesticates: the commensals, adapted to a human niche, dogs, cats, and guinea pigs; prey animals sought for food, cows, sheep, pigs, and goats; and targeted animals for draft and non-food resources, such as horses, camels, and donkeys. The first class is structured around love and pleasure, the second around survival and revenue, and the third around mechanization and efficiency. For some, the notion of pets is cruel. For others, animals as food should be a crime. Wherever you are on that ethics scale, you're probably confronted with it regularly in your immediate environment, be it from domesticated dogs in your street that you fear or that aisle of cold meat at your grocery store.
Yeah.
For many domestic workers, pet dogs can be an unfamiliar added responsibility. For the sake of getting a job, they're prepared to nurture and care for the dog at the standard that the employer requests. Sometimes that standard is higher than her own treatment, with the family dog getting better food, a better bed, better blankets, or sitting in the front seat of the car and her at the back. Tonight, we explore these varying domestic perceptions of animals with a madam and a domestic worker, so to speak, to explore the perceptive adjustments that were made, if any, in order to make the relationship with the family pets both possible and healthy. I'd like to welcome the lovely Amanda and Felicia, who are with me in studio tonight. Amanda's been on the show before in a two-part series where she shared with us her childhood memories and guided us through her impressions of our modern-day relationships post-apartheid. And her lovely and healthily outspoken domestic worker, Felicia, from Zimbabwe, has been with Amanda and her partner for how many years?
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
So ladies, welcome to the Maid Sessions on Cliff Central. It's good to have you. How are you?
Thank you.
Very good to be here. Thanks, T. I don't understand exactly what you said at the beginning of the show, so hopefully the questions will be more simple than your introduction.
I hope so too.
I hope that it will be.
I'm on my own tonight. Unfortunately, Mbali won't be able to join us, but we miss and love her. Let's get started. So tell us about the first animal you ever loved. Let's start with Felicia.
The first animal, it was a dog, a big one.
Was it the family dog?
Yeah, it was a family dog, but I was like the one who's owning that dog.
Oh, okay. So how did you get to owning this dog?
Where we grew up, there were so many dogs. So we have to raise dogs from our neighbor. You were given from our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And so how old were you? Do you remember?
I think I was three.
Three, and you already fancied a little dog?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's amazing.
Can you tell us about your first animal that you've ever loved, Amanda?
I'd semi-loved them. I was also a selfish little girl, I think, more involved in my own life. But we had two dogs, Sparky and Nikki, and in my growing up years, Nikki and Sparky, it was a spaniel and a ridgeback. They were sweet, but I didn't treat them like I treat the dogs today, like Frankie and Lulu. They were family home dogs. Mm. They slept outside in a kennel, which you would probably say is a lot more normal than on couches and in beds. And they, you know, and they got patted and petted, and I didn't think about them all day, whereas with Frankie and Lulu, I feel like they're children in a way, and Felicia knows. She, you know, I even call them my babies, and Felicia really does look after them like babies. So my relationships changed. I did love Sparky and Nikki, but I didn't think about them all the time, you know, and I probably should have had kids rather than taken on dachshunds, which are a lot like kids.
But what changed between how you perceived your previous animals and how you perceive the ones you have now?
There was a transition. I suppose my parents set the tone when we lived at home. And I do remember, though, when I moved out of home, my first little dog was called Lentil, which was probably the start of my vegetarianism, calling the dog Lentil. And the other dog was called Radical, which referred to my friend's politics at the time, but I used to call it Radish. So Lentil and Radish were our dogs in Yeovil. And I already then started changing my behavior. So lentil and radish were very much part of our lives, and we would go picnicking with them and go. The days were planned around the dogs. So weekends were like, okay, let's go for a picnic to Bez Valley with lentil and radish, or let's go to Emerentia. And so from my university years, when I moved out of home, or just after, the doggies became characters in my lives rather than the dog. That was it. They actually became like another human being in the home, and it's remained like that since.
And did you feel that way, Felicia, about your first dog?
Yes.
Like it was a human by your side?
Yeah, because you teach your dog everything. It comes here, sit down, greet you like a human being. Oh, actually, wow. It's half part of human being, I can say that.
So did you have any animals as livestock as
yeah.
well?
Donkeys, sheep.
Could you say you loved your pet dog more than you loved any of the other animals?
Absolutely. I die for a dog. Yeah.
A different connection. Yeah. Very interesting.
Fee, I know you often tell me about you get stuff still for the goats at home. When you go home, you're always looking for medicine. Mm-hmm. Did you feel close to the other animals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's like your dog is too touched, because those animals, like a dog, you have to feed a dog. Mm. But a goat or a donkey can eat grass. So there's a difference in between it. But you love every animal, because if it's sick, you have to be the one who's looking after it.
But it's a more distant relationship.
More distant relationship than a dog. Mm. A dog is, I think it's needy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a dog does need caring.
Caring.
Which is why I get quite cross with human beings that are horrible to dogs, because, or don't care for, because a dog, even a cat to some extent, can hunt birds and forage for food, but dogs are completely reliant on human beings. And human beings, we're going right back to caveman days, but they wanted dogs. They dogs away, they domesticated wolves and created dogs for their own pleasure. Now that there's so many dogs running around, they should be cared for and looked after by human beings who, after all, were the ones who domesticated them in the first place. I really think that human beings have got a duty to care for animals that they domesticated.
But what I find very interesting is how there's that dynamic in domesticated animals, and then there's the other that's domesticated to die, to, you know, be eaten. Mm-hmm. I want to first ask Felicia, with the livestock that you have, was it for slaughter or was it for milk and eggs and those kind of things?
We slaughter some.
Slaughtered as well. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for me, it was hard.
Yeah.
Because if they slaughter, I have to go away. So I won't see all the drama happening.
Because that is what I was wondering. If you're able to experience nurture and love with an animal, and then in the same, you know, breath, able to see one killed, or raise them to be killed, how do you, you know, manage to have those two things coexist?
In life, you need meat. You need meat. So, you know.
So it was a necessary sacrifice.
Slaughtered for meat.
Yeah.
But for your heart, it's very hard to see someone. You know, it deserves to live. But they have to slaughter for meat for you to eat again. So it's like a puzzle.
So you're not a vegetarian?
No. I love meat. But it's hard for me to see a cow or what slaughtered. Even a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I once saw a chicken get, you know, its feathers plucked off, and they used hot water, and they put the hot water on it so that the feathers could come off very easily. And then they just went for the neck. It was so terrifying. I didn't want to eat chicken for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ate chicken that evening.
Why
do you
think you were able to? Is it
It's a great question, because I decided that I wasn't going to eat that specific chicken. Mm. And so they pretended that it was other chicken that they were serving me, and I was comfortable enough to eat that. I'm not quite sure why.
Mm, it's an interesting thing, because I do think that I do feel I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I feel the lack of meat. Like, it's not that I don't look on at people eating meat or look at a steak and salivate, but I always take it back to the animal. And when I take it back to the animal, it's a terrible thought to me. So it is a sacrifice for me. I do find it difficult, but it's more important for me not to eat the creature, and I feel there's enough other food to eat than the thought of actually putting an animal into my body. It's a horrible thought. But it's like I would never be an activist, because I do think it's a choice thing, and I almost think that a human being has got our teeth and is constructed to eat meat, and that it's probably a healthy thing, because you always find that vegetarians are a bit deficient, aren't deficient or whatever. But it's definitely, it's not a way I can live my life, and knowing that I've eaten an animal, it really makes me feel sick, the thought.
Does it make a difference to you how they were killed? Because there's more humane ways of killing animals now. Does that matter?
Yeah, I think if I had to feel absolutely desperate, or doctors had to say you have to eat animals, if I knew that they had been kindly reared and had been slaughtered in a humane way, it would feel better to me. And actually, it's an interesting thing that, because I almost feel it's better if you see the animal being killed, or if you hunt the animal yourself, because then you understand the consequences of the killing. What I find really ridiculous is going into a store and the meat's been packaged already, and you forget that it was an animal. And that's what I was annoyed with in myself, for almost allowing myself to be unconscious for many years, and thinking, okay, well, I'm eating a carrot. It's not a carrot. That's a sheep that you're eating, or, you know, that's a cow. And when I think, when I actually think of the animal, then I wouldn't eat it. So it was that frustration of knowing that somebody else is doing the dirty work. The animal's probably been killed quite badly, mass slaughtered in an abattoir somewhere. And believe me, if you go to an abattoir, it will stop you for longer than one night eating meat. And I just thought, well, if you can't kill the animal yourself, not that I'm equipped with a bow and arrow, but if you said to me you are going to live in an environment where you will get a bow and arrow, you can either pick fruit and vegetables or you can hunt, I would eat fruit and vegetables. So I feel that it's necessary for me to live a conscious life, eating food that I can swallow, literally.
Well, I find that very interesting, because, Felicia, that means that you saw the creature before it became meat. So have you always been aware that it was an animal before it became meat? And have you always been, you know, sensitive to that?
Yeah.
And but it hasn't sort of made you want to eat meat less.
You wish you couldn't eat it, but you will eat it after. I think you forgot, but for now, as a child you forgot, but now it's really heartbreaking, because you have to, sometimes an animal cries deeply.
Oh, wow.
Especially like a cow. A cow is a big animal. So even if you close your ears, but the sound.
But now, if you go home, now that you've become, I think, probably more sensitive to the animals, and they had to slaughter a cow, would you eat, would you participate in the eating of the cow afterwards?
No, I think I'd rather, like, go to a butcher and buy meat than the one which is slaughtered in front of me. It's like cruel. I know it has to be done, but you find it so cruel.
I find it very interesting, the parallels in experiences. Melanie Griffith's family had lions as pets. Yeah, and they used to sleep in Melanie's bed.
That's amazing.
And they had a few accidents, but they actually kept the pets because they wanted to domesticate them for a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
it was the purpose.
Yeah. So that was quite particular. But there was another celebrity, I can't remember her name now, but she had a pet cheetah or leopard, one of the two. Yeah. So do you think you can read the kind of person that someone is because of the pet that they have?
Yeah.
I also do. I think that you find cat people, I even say to someone, you're definitely a cat person. They somehow seem less affectionate, maybe in a way, or more independent.
Mm.
And I always think, you know, like cats land on their feet and are light. I always feel there's a much more exuberant openness about a dog person, the same as dogs. Dogs don't hide emotion. They lick, they bark, they open. And I think that often dog owners are much more open in personalities. Like when we go to the park, we make friends with all the dogs,
exactly.
The dogs and their owners. And like you never knew the people, but you become quite friendly with them because of this commonality that you all love dogs.
Very interesting. So can you tell if a dog owner's gotten a dog purely for the purpose of security?
Definitely. I absolutely can tell the difference between a dog owner who's got a dog that they love and that is part of the family versus somebody who's got a dog just to look after the home.
Mm.
You would know the difference, and you would see it in their treatment and their interaction with the animal.
Mm.
It would be quite evident.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Felicia, do you like Amanda's dogs?
And I'm going to put my fingers in my ears, Fee. You can say whatever you like.
I always tell him if I go back to Zimu, would you borrow me those dogs?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Uh-huh. I'll put them in a little cage, then I bring them back. They are so good. Mm. Excellent.
Mm.
They are always happy. And I brush them teeth.
did you used to do that with your own dog?
No. Because it was big. Those are like small. They are manageable.
Oh, okay.
Brush them teeth. I bat them.
And you have a baby of your own.
I have my baby, 9 months.
And Lulu is your baby's bodyguard.
Wow. They fell in love with each other at the age of 2 months.
Mm.
Lulu comes and sleep under my baby's blanket.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you had absolutely no problem with...
Not at all, because I'm a dog lover.
Okay.
I'm not faking it, but I love dogs.
Amanda, did you have any preconceptions about how she would receive dogs?
Look, Felicia came highly recommended, and she had been looking after a baby amazingly and a cat, which is a different creature. But I couldn't begin to imagine... And I can see that the love that Felicia has for the animals and vice versa. I can tell you that on a Monday morning, Frankie and Lulu are so down with flat little ears until Felicia, in fact, every morning, they sit at the window and they wait for her to come, and they really go absolutely dippy. And the more Ndlovos that arrive, the happier the dogs are. If Beyonce is in the deal, which is the older daughter, there's double excitement. And, well, with Nolwazi, it's just craziness. So I've actually... I can't tell you how happy my heart is, because Frankie and Lulu, I think, prefer Felicia and her family to myself and my partner. And so it's almost like there's just like so many owners. It's like a kibbutz for dogs. And they're equally happy whoever looks after them.
Mm.
And I just can't get over Felicia's sensitivity, her genuine love, and her practicality.
Okay, did they warm up to you immediately?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you started enforcing the rules, were they okay or were they capricious?
You teach them once, twice, for the third time.
It's fine.
It's like fine.
Excepting you have to start again on Monday, because there are no rules on Saturday and Sunday. So
and
they're out
they
of control.
The days of the week. Today is Monday and Saturday. Sophie is not coming. They are relaxed.
So is there anything that Amanda and Upan Nadine have asked you to do with Lulu and Frankie that you thought, oh, that is so crazy, but I'll do it?
No.
Really nothing?
No. Maybe I'm the one who's doing crazy things.
Okay, Amanda, have you seen anything?
No, I mean, I did discuss with Felicia. I said that she found it horrible to pick up dog poo, because if she does, I really don't mind doing it. I only get round to it sometimes on the weekend.
Mm.
But Felicia says she really doesn't mind, and I can see that she doesn't. I absolutely wouldn't expect it. And if there was anything that Felicia felt wasn't nice, I would expect her to say, I don't want to do that. But I can really feel that unbelievable love and spontaneity. I mean, I would never have to say to Felicia, please bath the dog. She's got their schedules worked out exactly. And Felicia really...
She like babies.
Completely.
Yeah, they're like my babies.
So you have three babies.
I always say four. Because
yeah,
I have a daughter who's 11
and
Lulu, Frank, and the little one. So it's easy. When you grow up, when you grow up with dogs, you know what to do. You can't leave the poo lying on the ground.
Yeah.
And visitors are coming, you know. It's ugly.
But, I mean, we did have that discussion, and I said to Fee, if it's a horrible thing to do, then you mustn't. I'll do it. Certainly, it's not an expectation, because I think that can be just going a little bit far.
Even my daughter can do it at the age of 11. She cleans dog's poo and... She loves it.
Okay, Amanda, you told us that you feed your dogs biltong.
Mm-hmm.
Felicia, come on. Don't you find that quite strange?
Biltong?
Yeah.
That's good. Because it's like your baby. You can do anything for your baby.
I love how well adjusted.
The two of us get it so completely. We really are very, very lucky to have... That same love.
Amanda always like go away maybe for 2 weeks and I'm in charge of the house and the dogs.
So what is your feeling, with both of you having quite a strong love for pets, what is your feeling on mothers being separated from their babies, in order to... Dogs, yeah. I'm not even really sure why. I mean, I guess maybe they can't keep like seven little babies along with a mother. But what are your impressions on that?
You have to give that love to be the mother of that pet. I think if you play that role of being a mother, it's simple.
Okay, so as long as they're treated well, then that's okay.
Then you can cuddle it and give them love.
You see, I think it's really important that the doggies have got initial mommy suckling, because I think that's probably where they get, like a baby, they get their best nutrients. So I think they do need to be with their mommies for a certain space of time, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, so that they can get that.
Does that not also create that connection that might be...
It does create a connection from chatting to people and the bit I've read. I think sometimes it's quite difficult for a mommy dog to keep taking care of so many little puppies and for them to keep on suckling. So I think initially, yes. And I think that their chemistry also changes. The older the puppies get, I think that they're able to withdraw slightly more. I think it's terrible when babies are taken away too young. I think it is a rip for the mommy. And I think that they probably, the little puppies don't get what they need. But I've actually heard sometimes the mommy dog gets quite impatient with when there are lots of puppies and they want her attention all the time and they're all suckling. So I think that if it's done in a humane, I don't know if it's the right word, but if it's done in such a way that there's enough time for the little puppies to get enough nutrients for them to become more independent and the mommy's chemistry to settle down a bit and then, of course, need to be given to good homes.
Yeah.
It feels okay, but I do wish there were less dogs in the world, because I think there really is a shortage of good homes, and I think there are much too many dogs and far too few very good owners. And sometimes it also just has to do with poverty. I think people would like to give doggies homes, but they actually can't afford to, and they can't afford vet bills and feeding and all of that. So it's kind of out of balance with too many dogs. And not enough people who can afford to give dogs the food, the kind of food and veterinary services that they need. So I would really like there to be more dogs that are sterilized, and that there shouldn't just be so much breeding and then what to do with these poor animals.
Yeah. So let's go through a few of the comments that some of the domestic workers we've spoken to have mentioned. Mm. And I sort of want to just see your perceptions on these situations. So the one was that the dogs are sometimes placed in the front seat and the domestic worker at the back. Firstly, does that happen?
Fee, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
It was a long time ago, like apartheid by that time. But now...
Oh, but it's still happening today.
Really? Mm. That's very shocking.
But
what does happen is Beyonce puts Felicia in the back sometimes. So when we all go to the park, she says she's in front and Fee can sit in the back. Quite honestly, if Felicia could drive, I would be only too happy to sit in the back. And that's the next step. I think we have to either get Felicia to become a talk show host or a driver.
Because yes, absolutely.
I feel that domestic work's perhaps a bit limited.
Mm-hmm.
but no, I mean, I'm absolutely amazed to hear that that still happens, that that a domestic worker sits in the back seat. It's quite bizarre.
Have you seen that?
Well, it's the domestic workers that we actually started the show with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you guys have such a playful and loving relationship that if that happened, it would be on different terms. That's
sort
of my feeling.
Yeah, or Felicia would send me into the back and say she's driving perhaps today.
Exactly.
The other was that sometimes the dog will get better meat than the domestic worker. Any thoughts, Felicia?
Yeah, maybe some. But for me, like, we are equal with Lulu. So one piece, one piece.
But I could imagine it. I remember when I first spoke to you on the show, when I was growing up, there was a different meat for the domestic worker, which is also a bit bizarre. But I remember domestic workers, I think, had chuck and something else. So there was like a lower grade meat, which is also, I think, not a great thing. I mean, if people are in your home and they're eating meat, they should eat the same meat as you eat. If you eat meat, I wouldn't mind if Felicia was a vegetarian. I'd like to encourage more fruit, but
I'll start.
Okay, can I ask this? Mm-hmm. Would you understand if Amanda and Aideen loved their dogs more than you?
No.
Are you asking if we felt more for the animals than we feel for Felicia? Is that the question?
Well, that, but also whether that would be understandable. Because, you know, they are your children.
It's a different relationship, though. I mean, I very much respect Felicia as another adult. In some ways, a lot more capable, and she has children. I don't have a child. And she's able to do things that I'm not. So, by no means is Felicia a helpless human being. She's a very, very capable, strong woman who I hugely admire. So it's a different kind of relationship, I suppose.
Mm.
I love and admire Felicia. I adore her kids. And Frankie and Lulu have got a different role. I don't know. I can't really equate those things. But I think that it would be terrible if anybody's domestic worker was not treated as well as the animals. I mean, that's a crazy thought.
Mm.
But I think where the craziness comes in is that I think that animals have got little souls. And for me, it's not difficult to treat a dog like a human in a sense, you know. I mean, sure, there are differences, but I feel they've got souls. They feel comfortable sitting on comfortable spaces. And for me, it doesn't feel uncomfortable to sit where a dog is sitting.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult thing. I mean, I think that all creatures have got feeling and are souls. And I find selfish human or for human gain, I can't stand when, well, I think any animal is treated badly for human gain. So whether it would be puppy mills or whether it would be hunting, anywhere where a selfish human being is greedy and will treat an animal badly so that they can gain financially, I find absolutely reprehensible. As much as I am not a violent person, if there's one thing that could push me over the edge, if I see people being cruel, to any defenseless creature, certainly animals, kids, and I know that I talk about them in the same terms, but for me there's souls that are vulnerable and need to be cared for and looked after. And anybody that can do violent or ugly things to a helpless creature, I then could actually take a stick.
If I can be honest, because I've had very terrible relationships with dogs, and I find it quite difficult to connect. And I remember one of the many reasons that I didn't like animals was because I always felt that they're cared for more than humans are, you know, or a lot of types of humans. And I think, I mean, those that have heard me on my show know how passionate I am about racism and just general injustices to marginalized groups. Mm. And I always felt like, I guess, the white majority would love animals more than us. And it's been so hard to reconcile that, because I can see how very beautiful this relationship is. It's quite a wonderful thing. Is there any way to make these sort of things accessible, you know, to so that the ones that don't quite understand the relationship between man and dog, and maybe don't even want to know because of all the sort of, you know, history that brings frustrations and hurts and fear of dogs and those kind of things, can start to understand, you know, where the sort of love and nurture comes from.
The entry point. You see, I completely understand that if your experience of animals would have been that they bark at you, that they set on you. I mean, it's such a different perception from growing up with this own little puppy. Mm-hmm. That Felicia and I have both had our own little puppies, and you raise them, and I suppose when they're little, they're almost like little dolls that have got movement, and you get to know their little souls. And I think that certainly if you've had fear, probably the best way to start would be with a puppy.
A puppy, exactly.
You know, that's not in any way intimidating and is almost like a little doll and is cute, and that you don't feel in any way scared. And I think you should also come and spend time with Frankie and Lulu. That would be a good. But it really is a very difficult thing. And I think that the history of the country has created a lot of our population being terrified of dogs. They were always associated with the police that went into townships and barking and ugliness, and then there were dogs in the township who didn't have enough food, so they would snarl, and it just became a vicious cycle. And as Felicia says, you can train dogs to be anything. I think that's the beauty of them, you know. They really can. They're so malleable. I think it's a little bit harder to untrain them if they've been maltreated, but a lot of human beings do. They spend time with
she must get a puppy.
And but
start
I think
with the puppy,
I think so,
and give it love.
Yeah.
Love. Massage it. No, just learn how to live with it. Where you grow up, you didn't grow up with dogs.
I grew up with dogs that used to chase us every morning, and the neighbors used to let them out on us.
Neighbor's dog, not...
Yeah, neighbor's dogs. Okay. So it wasn't... I never associated them to something nice, you know? Mm. So it's hard to associate it to something else, even though I see, you know, how they are loved and love in return. Mm. It's hard for me to imagine that they will give it to someone that isn't their owner or someone that doesn't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they will give love, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, they really do give love if they. Treated well, if doggies are treated well, and their natures have, they'll only, I mean, I think even with pit bulls, I think pit bulls can be the most gentle dogs if they're trained and brought up properly. I think the problem comes in when the human messes up the animal or trains the animal to be aggressive or keeps them on a leash or on chains. I think some humans train animals to be aggressive.
Aggressive, exactly.
And so I think that if a doggy is treated well and properly, and that's not to say no discipline, but is treated correctly. I genuinely think that their nature is to love and to be loving. And I think it goes wrong when they're not treated properly or are reared and are trained to be aggressive. So I completely understand why you feel the way you do. I think a lot of owners take on dogs that have been mistreated and then they can only rehabilitate them to a certain degree.
Mm.
But then those people would normally know to keep them on a leash and would keep on trying to condition them to make them softer and to socialize them more. But I think that dogs are very much a reflection of how they've been treated by humans. And I think in a good society, you would have good animals. I don't know if it was, I think maybe it was even Mahatma Gandhi said that you can judge a society on the way the animals behave. Mm. Don't quote me. I'm not the best with quotes. But it has something to do with that the way dogs, or not dogs, the way animals are treated or the way animals are in a society is a reflection of that society.
Mm.
Mm. All of your family loves dogs, Hafi.
Everyone.
There's hope yet.
There's hope yet. But
I'm going to get a puppy.
Felicia and I are definitely going to go out and look for a puppy for you. And you definitely
can it be one of those small ones that don't really grow?
We can see. We'll see that it becomes a miniature.
The one you're going to put it in your handbag when you go for a shopping.
You and Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk around like the celebrities.
Then if you put your hand.
I just find them so adorable. And I know they won't do anything to me. So
no.
That's a good start.
Could you please try?
If the only thing is they might protect you, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel very, very safe because I leave doors open at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Frankie and Lulu, they start barking minutes before anyone's even within range of the home. So they're actually wonderful watchdogs to you, you know.
Yeah.
And one
they
feels...
shout.
Yeah.
So all they need to do is be loud.
Uh-huh.
Well, dachshunds, yes. I don't think their bite is that serious.
Mm.
But I think people would really stay away from dachshund barking. It's so crazy.
Even they show you if maybe there's a lizard inside the house, there's a bed. They can tell you there is something.
But they weren't hunted.
No.
What I really enjoy about this conversation was that we needed some kind of balance. We needed to understand where it is working because we've been hearing all the ways that it wasn't.
I wish everybody can love the dog.
Mm.
You can maybe buy or adopt a dog.
Mm.
Then love it until the day you die. Exactly. And I wish if I have money, I could have a farm, then I adopt every single dog.
Oh, really? You love them that much? This is incredible.
We have to make money because I'd love to do that too.
Wow. Okay.
So I also would love to do that. And I couldn't think of a better person than Fee.
Dog's heaven.
Mm.
Dog's heaven house. So every single dog there, I can adopt it.
But I can tell you that the rewards are incredible. You never feel lonely when you've got a dog around.
No.
They're such incredible companions. For me, certainly, they help me live in the moment. So when I see a dog in the park and the dog's just running and enjoying the grass and nature and just being there, and they're not thinking about, well, they might be, but they haven't shared that. But there just seems to be such a love of being present and sniffing, and everything's enjoyed with so much gusto.
Their sense.
Yeah.
They are so emotional because I have seen with B, if she's crying, Lulu comes and licks. Stop crying. What happened? And if she screams, she comes and, what's happening? I have to see why is B screaming.
Oh, wow.
They're incredibly in touch. And they really make one's life very, very fulfilled.
You smile. There's always a smile on your face if you have a dog.
Okay, fine. I'm getting a puppy.
Okay, we're getting you a puppy. We're going looking for puppies this evening.
What kind of puppy? A small one, a big one?
No, small. We're going for
very,
small.
Very small. The smallest you can find.
Mm. Maybe you can come to me and give you some few tricks how to raise it. It's like your newborn baby.
whisperer. Yeah, you couldn't have a better dog whisperer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ooh, yeah. Nice, Felicia.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you won't be scared anymore. You'll love it. Maybe it can make your coffee toasty and give you.
You guys have been so wonderful.
Thank you.
It was so lovely being here and sharing our doggy stories. And actually, we better go now, Fee. They've been alone for 2 hours. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're working on their timetable, according to their timetable.
They can't be on their own for too long.
Special for Frankie.
Fee, won't you tell Tuliza, she won't believe me about poor Frankie.
What happened?
She has asthma.
Oh, I heard about this. Uh-huh. Tell us about Frankie's asthma. I didn't know dogs could have asthma. Mm. Wow. Mm. Does he have a pump? I mean, does she have a pump?
She uses a pump.
Wow.
She just gets short of breath. Then you have to...
Does she run to you and...
No, she'll be sleeping there or walking. It just happens anytime. It's like a human being asthma.
Oh, wow.
So it's just attack. Boom. This day. So you have to spray it until it's calm.
Really a baby.
Very. She's even got a baby asthma pump. It's got the little bears and everything on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So anyway, you'll come and spend time with baby Frankie, Lulu and us.
I will do. And I'll bring my new pet puppy.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Please make sure to follow our Twitter page. It's at Made Project. That's MAIDE Project, as well as our Facebook page, which is also Made Project, and it's called The Made Sessions. Have a very lovely evening. Bye.
Bye.
Woof woof. Cliffcentral. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.